views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150 here in the Seattle area and on Transformation Talk Radio worldwide. I'm coming to you today from just a little bit of residual smoky Seattle. It shows that we're truly connected because we've been getting the smoke from Canada. We've been getting the smoke from down south as well. And we normally have very fresh air. So it's just a reminder of what's going on the planet right now. I would like to say hello to the man who does the magic in technology with a gazillion monitors and a bunch of keyboards. Good morning, Mr. Benny Mathers.
Hey there, Christine. I was expecting to wear, like, you seeing wearing a mask or, like, one of those nuclear fallout, mask walking in the door. It's almost like we needed one earlier.
Oh, we did.
Earlier this week.
We had the worst air in the nation.
Yeah, the rumors were floating around. I'm sure not even rumors. We were just as bad as India and maybe places in Beijing, or China and Beijing.
Beijing, yes.
I mean, it was bad.
It was really bad. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, I kept my windows in my house closed. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of cats with asthma.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just sort of recirculating the interior air, and it's scary. It really is.
Yeah, and of course we want to give our, you know, best to all those fighting these fires and getting
absolutely,
them. I mean, there's just
yes.
a lot going on. So, yeah, and just look out for your neighbors and everyone around you, you know, and just be cautious and aware.
Yeah, and I headed up to Bellingham last week to go to an orientation for my son's upcoming college. And
you seem so happy with that one.
No, it's great. Know, he's happy. I'm happy. It'll be great.
I'm sure you should be.
But there were fires along the side of the road. And it's, you know, people throwing cigarettes out or whatever.
I don't know why people are still doing that.
I know. It's shocking.
Like, really?
Yeah. And Denise Lynn, who has been a wonderful guest on the show several times, Hay House author. I think she's had like 19, 20 books published. Much of her land burned. Aww. And in fact, the outbuilding on her land burned, but the firefighters were able to save the house.
That's good.
And her cat within, because they couldn't get when they had to evacuate quickly, they weren't able to get their cat.
Yeah.
And the firefighter actually went in and fed the cat twice, got it water. But if you go onto her Facebook page, you'll see all the burned, charred land around her house. It's just, yeah, and people are losing their homes. So
yeah, and that's
we are
just the
at
unfortunate part.
A shifting moment here on this planet in a big way. Well, I know that all of you are wanting to find your way to health, well-being, wealth, and purpose. And our guest today has a system to help us do that. Her name is Myra Godfrey. She's known as Jaya Jaya Myra, and she's an internationally acclaimed author, a motivational speaker, a corporate trainer, a natural lifestyle expert, and she teaches people how to cultivate physical, mental, and emotional health and well-being based on their personal energy and composition type. She's a healer. She healed herself naturally from fibromyalgia, and she's developed a blueprint for healthy living, and how to live a successful, fulfilling life. She's got her debut book, Vibrational Healing, Attain Balance and Wholeness, Understand Your Energetic Type, and it's published in 10 languages and is available worldwide. She's also the founder and director of the 501c3 nonprofit organization, Gita for the Masses, teaching spiritual practices that promote conscious character development. Oh, I'm going to want to talk to her about what that is. Interreligious dialogue, which is so important, and interfaith harmony. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Jaya Jaya Myra. Hi there.
Hi there. Great to be here.
you know, I'm always fascinated by how a person gets from the path that they were on to sharing wisdom. And usually there's a personal story involved. What's your story about how you got to the place where you were sharing your wisdom with others through this book?
Absolutely. I think ultimately when people have these dramatic shifts in what they're doing with their life, it's a shift that's bringing you back to manifesting your true purpose. Because we don't always know that when we're growing up or when we're in school or we feel like we have to follow specific societal expectations or norms. But for me, that journey really began when I came down with debilitating fibromyalgia. I was working as a research scientist in both academia and in the pharmaceutical industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a point in my life that I was really unhappy with everything I was doing, in particular with animal testing, because that really went against what I believed in my heart and my spiritual practices. But you can't really have a career in preclinical sciences if you're not doing animal testing, unfortunately.
Which is a horrible thing from my perspective as well. It breaks my heart.
Oh, absolutely. And one day I was just absolutely, completely fed up with it. And I just sat at my desk and I said, God, do whatever you have to do, but I can't do this anymore. Just make my hands stop working. Because I literally, in about 20 minutes, had to go into the back, get suited up, and dose another group of animals. And I really just didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally what happened. I went back to dose the animals, and my hands went numb.
Wow.
I couldn't deliver the medications to them. After that, I went through a whole series of tests and other things when the doctors couldn't truly find anything wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
So they labeled it as fibromyalgia, which
right.
is the general wastebasket syndrome that you get when they can't find anything else distinctively wrong with you other than chronic pain.
Sure.
So I lost essentially everything in my life. I lost my job, my marriage, my home was foreclosed on, I declared bankruptcy, and I was even separated from my children because I didn't have the means or ability to provide for them after my divorce. And obviously my ex-husband wanted nothing to do with me.
Mm.
So I had some pretty massive life changes to undergo. And it really opened up the possibility for me of doing something completely different
mm-hmm.
and starting to follow my heart.
Right.
So the icing on the whole cake for me was that Western medicine made my condition worse. It didn't even make it a hair better. It actually made me feel worse and more sick and with the medications that they would give me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just pushed it all aside and healed myself naturally. I started using, practices from my spiritual tradition, doing more yoga, a lot with mindfulness and meditation,
mm-hmm.
changing some stuff in my diet, and I was able to completely recover my health naturally.
So what are your spiritual traditions?
So I follow a Shakti-oriented tradition, which would be considered a lot like esoteric Hinduism.
Okay.
I've also deeply, deeply studied the Bhagavad Gita, which is really a scripture that teaches you how to live your life in accordance with your life purpose
mm-hmm.
and how to look out for the things that you need to overcome and watch out. Like, while everyone's life purpose is not the same, there's definitely... there's still a common thread to everyone's life in certain like do's and don'ts that you should really watch out for. Like basically your friends and family may not always like their dharma, their life purpose may be much different from yours. And those are usually like the biggest obstacles that you're going to come up against, like when you're starting to follow your own path.
Uh-huh.
So like that's how the Gita starts out, is essentially with Arjuna on a battlefield, and he realized that he has to fight against his friends and family in this big epic war that was going on. And he has this whole crisis of conscience around that. And like a form of God in that is Krishna. And Krishna's essentially telling him, this is why you need to persevere and you need to pursue your own life purpose and dharma. And that is how good is going to come out of this, you know, not by throwing away what your life purpose is because it might be hurtful to someone around you.
Mm-hmm. So,
and that's something I think that we all experience a lot of when people have expectations in life about what you should or shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And that doesn't always serve your highest potential or purpose. So like the underlying message in that is, you really need to honor yourself first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the pieces will just fall into place where they're supposed to.
Yeah. Well, I know I personally was more or less following in my father's footsteps when I went into statistics, and at one point I experienced the early stages of cancer, and I recognized that I was in a career that was disconnected from my heart, was disconnected from my soul purpose. And it wasn't until I decided to make some changes based on that, that it went away, because doctors had nothing to offer me at that point. So I know that this concept of following our dharma, our purpose, is essential for being at ease with our life. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, I know that you've talked about the importance of purpose. And I think people will typically think purpose as it relates to career, or purpose that relates to maybe the family role.
Yes, and that's unfortunate, because that's not what purpose or life purpose is at all. Like, we each have our own reason for being here, and mm-hmm. our own unique talents and strengths that are really going to make the world a better place. The rest of it, the career, the family, how we raise our children, are uh-huh. just, they're standard to everyone, no matter what your specific life purpose is.
Uh-huh.
So you have to go beyond those typical things that we're all going to experience in life and really dig deeper and understand what makes me different, what mm-hmm. makes me unique. And what is my very special contribution to the world? Like, what am I passionate about, and what makes me feel good? What makes me able to share love with the world?
I love that. And I think that our listeners, many, many of them have this deep desire and don't quite know how to access their purpose and shift their direction based on that inner yearning. But we're going to talk more with Jaya Myra here in just a few moments.
Are you ready to attract abundance, release stress, look and feel younger, all from your smartphone? Get Pure Light, a free mobile app with audios that transmit powerful frequencies to shift anything in your life. Created by some of the world's top energy healers, these audios have created miracles, often quickly. Enjoy the latest in conscious technology and download Pure Light today. To find out more, visit purelightaudio.com.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world one listener at a time.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Jayamira, and before the break, we were talking about finding our purpose. So let's delve into that a little bit more, Jayamira. Let's talk about what purpose looks like, because again, you know, I think that people know on some deep level when they're not living it, especially those who are the least bit self-reflective. But what does it look like when we're living our purpose?
I believe that you'll experience a few telltale things that are going to show you that you're on the right path. And one of them, when you're living from your purpose and you're doing the things that you're really innately inclined towards doing, you're going to have so much energy no matter how much you work. Mm-hmm. Like when you're working and you get tired and fatigued quickly, it's usually a sign that the things that you're doing is just not really a match for your constitution type or your life purpose.
Uh-huh.
But when you're doing something that you're truly passionate about, you can do it for hours and hours and hours, and you're not going to find yourself getting fatigued from it.
Right, right. And I think that that surprises people. And I certainly know that, you know, when I teach, when I'm teaching for many hours on end, it feels strange to me at the end to feel energized. And most people say, aren't you tired? Well, my feet might be a little sore from standing for 9 hours,
mm-hmm.
but, it's energizing. So I know what you mean. And I think that there are a lot of people out there who have this inner sense that there's some purpose they're not living. How do people go about finding out what that is?
I think one of the first ways is to identify what your unique constitution type is. So I work with the five elements because I find that to be very informative, both for our physical health,
uh-huh.
because Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine both use a five element approach.
Right.
When you look at Ayurveda, they talk about the three doshas, but when you study Ayurveda more in depth, those three doshas break down into five specific elements. So
okay.
when you want to get a little bit more custom tailored to what's going on, you have to actually look at the elements instead of just the doshas. So
what are the elements?
Earth, water, fire, air, and space or ether element, as it's sometimes referred to. And the nice thing about the elemental system is that while it's going to help you with your physical and emotional and mental health and well-being, it's also going to clue you in as to your life purpose and what it is that you're supposed to be doing. Just like when you take a Myers-Briggs assessment or another personality test,
uh-huh.
you can know a lot about someone's personality by their primary and their secondary elemental type, which
sure.
is pretty awesome to me. Like, for example, Earth-based people tend to have a predilection for writing. They tend to be good writers. They tend to be good healers, are interested in wellness. Very good at organization and management, things of that nature. So when you start to be able to identify these attributes that are a part of your personality, it can hone you into your elemental type, but it's even easier to start to identify what your elemental type is and use that as a framework to understand those talents that you're probably innately good at. And
okay.
then you can look and say, yeah, I really like organization. I really like leading a group of people. Or no, it's like, I don't want to touch that with a 30-foot pole.
Right,
and
right.
you'll get like a really good idea pretty quickly, like if you're on the right path and trajectory for you.
Okay, so let's go through some of the other elements and mm-hmm. and some of the, you know, the typing based on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the really strong points of water element is that these people tend to be very emotionally sensitive and in tune with themselves and others.
Hmm.
So it means that these people can be very compassionate caregivers and very into family. And they really have this notion of wanting to make the world a better place because they feel things so empathically that there's no way for someone who has a strong water element composition to not feel. So they're very in tune with making other people feel good. Because if you make someone else feel bad, you're not going to feel good yourself.
Yes, that makes sense.
So I think that's like one of the great strengths of that element. And it's important to know, too, that all the elements have strengths and they all have weaknesses that are associated with them. So it's you're going to have like pros and cons. And when you know what your elemental constitution is, you can use your strengths to help minimize what those weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really the key to staying physically healthy. And this is how a lot of Ayurveda is based. Like, let's say that you have a really earth-based constitution. You're probably not going to want to eat a ton of foods that have a lot of that same nature to it. So earth is very solid. Foods that grow in the earth, things like potatoes and carrots. Pasta, which is dense and heavy, things that have a lot of gluten in them, like sticking things together.
Right.
Those have the same attributes that earth element has. So you're probably not going to want to eat a lot of that stuff if you are a strongly earth-based constitution.
Interesting.
Because that is going to like throw you out of balance. So earth-based people, they really need to eat a lot lighter foods, like things like salad and fresh light vegetables and fruits and things of that nature and nuts. Those are going to help you feel more in balance and more energized because it's like you're just getting too much of one thing. But you may really be craving that stuff, but then that's also a sign that, hey, maybe you're a little bit out of balance and you need to get some of the stuff back into alignment. So it's pretty interesting. Like, you can definitely have too much of something, and if you're not in balance, you'll be able to sense that pretty quickly.
So it makes sense to have sort of like a tendency towards one element, but you don't want to be too far into that because that gets you out of balance. That's what you're saying then.
It can get you out of balance if you're starting to manifest the negative attributes that are associated with that.
Okay.
And so one of those negative attributes with earth element is that density in that weight. It's like the most solid element, so it wants to make things solid. So let's say that your primary element is earth and or water, for example, and you crave all these heavy foods all the time, what's going to happen? You're likely going to be sluggish and lethargic, and you're going to put on weight easily. That's actually one of the cons for people who have a ton of earth or water element in their constitution, is that it's really easy for these people to gain weight.
Okay.
And fire and air elements are the exact opposite. Those are the people that you see that are really, really gaunt and slender, and they have a very difficult time putting on weight because they tend to be inclined towards the lighter foods because that matches their constitution. And it's really hard for them to have these dense foods.
I know at one point you in your book you talk about how those who are of the fire element, at least the dominance of that, crave spicy foods.
Yeah, you definitely can, because spice is one of those attributes that's related to fire element. And spice helps get things moving in the body, too. And it also explains why people who have very strong fire element can be prone towards anger when that gets out of balance.
Okay.
Because it's that hot, fiery energy that makes you just a little bit unstable from time to time.
Okay, and so what are the positive attributes of the fire element?
So fire element people have the ability to have extremely strong willpower towards anything that they put their minds and their hearts to. It's like fire just burns away everything else that isn't what they want. So they're able to like hyper laser focus on something and be able to move forward and bring that into their lives. They can like manifest things more quickly because that fire energy just gets rid of everything else.
Interesting. Okay, so air. The air element.
So air element is pretty neat because air element people tend to be extremely creative by nature. They tend to be very visionary. They're the ones who come up with all sorts of ideas and different ways of doing things. Some of the cons of air elements are again, if you're not taking care of your diet, you can be a little bit more frail and fragile and get sick more easily because you're just not like really keeping yourself grounded down to earth.
Okay.
And also that creative energy, it can be negative when you don't know how to follow through. So some people with an air constitution, when it isn't manifesting in a good way, will be very good at creating, but not good at following through with those creations and actually turning it into something. Mm-hmm. It'll stay in the idea phase and then fizzle out.
Right. Okay. And so what was the fifth element after that? I'm sorry.
So the fifth element is space or ether. And while you don't tend to see this as much in a lot of what's going on in the physical body, because it's literally related to space, it makes these people hypersensitive to their external environment.
Mm-hmm.
So people who have a lot of space element in their constitution would be really good at, say, interior design or feng shui or vastu, things that are really dealing with the nature of the external space that we're in.
Uh-huh.
And it also makes people have this very strong inclination towards music and sound. So if you tend to have healing attributes in your nature anyway, you're probably going to be really inclined like towards sound or instruments as a form of that healing. So one of the cons of space element is just really being so far out there, so far gone, that you can't stay grounded at all, that you can't focus on what is going on in this physical material plane, and
uh-huh.
you're just very, very interested in the esoteric stuff, and you're ignoring actually what's going on in your day-to-day life.
Right, right. That makes sense. We're going to go to another quick break, but stay tuned more for Jaya Myra here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant, Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world one listener at a time.
Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern. And for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
Miss any shows during the week? Don't worry, we've got you covered.
Yahoo!
With the free Transformation Talk Radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand.
Yes!
Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area and on Transformation Talk Radio over the internet around the world. You might be listening live now, or you might be listening after the fact on ChristineUpchurch.com and the archives. I think we're up to 115 different countries accessing those. You might be listening on one of the 90 syndicated stations this ends up going to digitally after the fact. But wherever and whenever you're listening from, I'm so glad you've joined us. And we're having an important conversation about well-being and purpose with Jaya Myra. And she is the author of Vibrational Healing: Attain Balance and Wholeness. Understand Your Energetic Type. Now, Jaya Myra, you talked about your own healing journey, and you've been talking about the various elemental types and, you know, how they get out of balance. So, you know, I've been sort of interpreting that as some of the imbalance relates to food. Was food an important part of your healing, or was there something else that you found was it more important than food?
Food, I would say, was a relatively small part of my healing journey. And while this is probably going to be surprising to a lot of people, I attribute meditation and mindfulness to about 85 to 90% of what was helpful for me in getting better.
Okay, so why is that?
So meditation can have many positive effects on your physical body in addition to what's going on mentally and emotionally with people. And one of the things that meditation does when you do it on a regular, consistent basis is it helps to reset the nervous system so that your sympathetic nervous system and your parasympathetic nervous system are functioning and in balance. A lot of the times people who are facing chronic health problems, their parasympathetic nervous system gets out of balance. And that's really what's responsible for helping you to heal easily and effectively. So when you start to get that back into balance, mm-hmm. your body's innate healing mechanisms can kick in and start doing what they're supposed to do to begin with. So for me, that was a huge, huge, huge part of it. And the mindfulness portion of it was really looking at my purpose. What was I supposed to be doing? What was I not supposed to be doing? And starting to make the changes that I needed to make in life to live according to what I really wanted and needed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that there are various types of meditation. What type of meditation were you doing, and what type do you recommend?
So I was really just doing a silent meditation, like mm-hmm. starting off with a mantra that was inclined towards my constitution, uh-huh. and then ending with a silent meditation. I would say there's two main categories of meditation. I mean, there's probably hundreds and thousands of different types of meditation techniques out there.
Right.
But there's two main categories, and that would be silent meditation mm-hmm. versus a meditation technique. So when you're working with a meditation technique, you're probably doing something like mantra or breathing or visualization or something else that your mind is latching onto.
Uh-huh.
And in a silent technique, you're doing the exact opposite. You're trying to like let everything go. You're trying to let everything out of the mind and let the mind just come to this place of stillness where it can reset. So for me, I was doing that silent sort of technique. Like I would always start off doing a little bit of mantra and then just end for about 15 to 30 minutes just in that silent meditation. Mm-hmm. So for healing, I find that the silent meditation can be very effective. Like once you practice it and you're regular and the body starts to get used to it and you start being able to go into deeper and deeper places of it, that can really reset and restore the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like techniques because they don't know how to get their minds to slow down.
Right. So,
I think they can be highly effective too. And I think that you can use them in combination, but techniques are really, really great for cultivating willpower and clarity and doing specific things here in the material plane. Like, you want to accomplish something specific. You want to get good at something. There's probably a meditation technique that's going to help you with that. Mm-hmm. But you want to really reset your nervous system. You want to work on your physical health and well-being. You have to learn to sit in silence.
Mm-hmm. And now, you talk about letting go when you're in this silent meditation, but I think what happens when we get into that, especially in the beginning, is we recognize how much our mind is in control. How do you quiet the mind and get to that silence?
Well, some people do it by focusing on a breath or by focusing on a mantra. And when you do that for a little bit of time, like if I were to start my meditation off with a mantra, say I'd be chanting for 5 minutes or so, that's helping the mind to focus on the one specific thing.
Uh-huh.
And then when you even drop that and let that go and just sit in silence, like your mind is not going crazy. It's not jumping around to a million different things. You've already gotten it on a groove. And now you're just taking that onto a little bit of a different journey of just being quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, your mind is always going to be doing things. There's always going to be thoughts that are floating in and out.
Sure.
So it's really just laser focusing on nothingness. It's like when you're watching a movie, you're so engrossed in that movie, you don't tend to notice the other things that are going on around you, even though there's 100 other things going on around you. It's the same thing with the mind. If you can get to the point to where you can just focus on nothing, you're going to feel thoughts floating in and around. There's going to be things that come into that space, just like clouds come into the sky. I mean, you're not going to be able to stop that. But then you just bring your attention back to, like, literally nothingness, just openness, empty space that doesn't have anything else there. So, and when you're in that open, empty space, you're literally giving your mind and body and emotions that space necessary to start healing.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there's, you talked about the focus, so it's kind of like the clouds going by, but I think that there's also an aspect of it of letting go of any attachment to the thoughts that go through the mind. Because oftentimes the thoughts that go through our mind trigger this physiological and emotional reactivity. And so what you're talking about in this silent meditation, it sounds to me like you're just sort of letting go and observing and not, like, you know, having that attachment to whatever that thought is.
Yeah, you're definitely letting things go. I don't tend to use the word attachment because I think it's one of those things that so many people use that it can get misinterpreted. I think one of the key points to realize that a lot of thoughts and things that are going on, a lot of them aren't even yours. Emotions that come to us or thoughts that come to us aren't even necessarily things of our own creation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can just be floating around in the space that you're in.
Right.
For example, you walk into a house. Let's say that you and your husband just had a huge fight. You leave. You come back into that space. Uh-huh. You find yourself starting to get angry again.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. The energy's still there. Yeah.
because you put that energy into that space. So when you go into spaces, especially not like places like your home, you go into foreign spaces, people leave energy behind all the time. They leave thoughts behind all the time, and those thoughts are still literally hanging out in that space.
Yeah.
And so then they just come into your consciousness.
Right.
So when you realize that a lot of the things that you're thinking or that are coming to you aren't necessarily of your own creation or willpower anyway, because literally if you're sitting in meditation, the last thing that you're doing is trying to think about something,
right,
which means that these thoughts are coming from somewhere else, right, or they're bubbling up from your subconscious, or they're things that are trying to get your attention. It becomes much easier to let them go when you realize, hey, these are not of my own creation. Mm-hmm. They're just here, and I don't have to pay attention to them. I can choose to focus on me, give myself that self-love and attention, and just let myself be silent.
And I think, Jai Jai Amara, what you're talking about right now is really important, because I think that there are a lot of sensitives, and they're the kinds of people who listen to this show, sensitives who are picking up, not just when they walk into a space, but they're picking up some of the global stuff out there. The thoughts, the fears, the anger, a lot of the negative emotions that are resulting right now from a world in crisis, but in shift mode. So it's, I think oftentimes you're right. So much of what we are seeing in our mind has nothing to do with, our true self.
And it definitely doesn't, especially when what you're sensing is negativity or anger or fear-based. That has nothing to do with your true self. Mm-hmm. So you can just choose to let these things go and to move beyond them. Those are just like the clouds that are in the sky. Once those clouds are out of the way, everything is bright and clear. Mm-hmm. You have to go deeper. But as long as you're giving your attention to those thoughts and to that negativity, there's no way to penetrate through it when it has your attention.
So you talk about rebalancing the nervous system through meditation mm-hmm. and mindfulness.
Yeah.
What does it feel like when the nervous system is balanced?
So a lot of times when I was healing in particular, when I would come out of a meditation, I would feel very revitalized. I would feel like I had additional energy that was available to me. You just feel like a youthfulness and a vibrancy, like literally just that energy of vitality and vigor that's coming to you. And when you can go deep enough into your meditations, like to where, you know, you're not sensing, like where you're not sensing things. So we have smell, taste, sight, touch, and sound, mm-hmm. which correspond to those five elements. And when you go deeper into your meditations, you start not noticing those things. Like you start not, like you're not going to see something hopefully because your eyes are closed anyway, but you start not like even really sensing like those light differences that are going on around you. You'll start noticing that you lose sensation in your body. Like you don't have that sense of touch when you're sitting still. Uh-huh. Like you don't feel the air that's moving on you. You don't even necessarily feel your body. And eventually you'll start even going beyond hearing anything that's happening around you.
Uh-huh.
So when you're that immersed in yourself, like that you start to lose all of your sensory experiences, that is like a really good place to be because then you know you've gone really deep and the nervous system can do what it needs to do to start resetting and rebalancing. Because again, your attention isn't focused on sensory objects. It's right. literally just immersed in you. So 100% of your energy is going to what's going on in your body and in your mind. And so with all of that focus there, there's no way that your body won't start healing itself.
Interesting. So you know, what happens when you go so deep, though, that you start to get a different kind of visual, a different kind of auditory, a different kind of kinesthetic? I'm thinking in terms of like, you know, when I first started meditating and first started doing healing, when I closed my eyes, I would start to see the flow of the third eye energy, that light flow. And I know sometimes people will hear an inner voice that seems to be disembodied, but it's not like the external sound. What do you do with it when you get to that kind of sensory level?
For me, I just recognize that it's still sensory and that I need to go beyond that. Because you're going to get all sorts of spiritual experiences when you start meditating or following a particular spiritual path. And those are just as much distractions or can be distractions as is what's going on around you on a day-to-day basis. So if I've gone into meditation for the purpose of silencing my mind and silencing everything that's going on, for me, I just focus on that. And I remember that, hey, I need to focus. I need to go beyond all of these things. Like, even when you're in meditation, you still have some of that cognizance there to realize, hey, this is not what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Unless you just lose yourself completely. Some people, when they go into meditation, they're not even really cognizant of, like, what's going on. They're kind of just, like, drifting around in some other plane.
Uh-huh.
But as long as you maintain that cognizance, you can still just come back and be like, okay, that's interesting, but let me focus on just this nothingness and the silence for now.
Interesting. Stay tuned for more with Jaya Myra when we return here in just a few moments.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. You know, we're chatting with Jayajayamira, also known as Myra Godfrey. And Jayajayamira, I'm going to want you to share with our listeners how they can connect with you, what it is you offer, and, and how they can connect.
Absolutely. I am very easy to find online. My website is jayajayamira.com. You can find me on any social media channel with the handle at Jayajayamira. So definitely check out my social pages. I've been posting a lot of videos up on there most every day, and I put up a lot of other fun content as well.
So
let's see, what
let's
do I do?
That.
I do lots of things.
Hold on, let's spell that for people. JayajayamYra.com.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
That is where you will find me.
Yes, and what do you offer?
I do coaching with people. I help people to hone in on what their energy type and constitution type is and how to cultivate mindfulness and meditation practices and overall practices for well-being that are really hyper-targeted towards your individual constitution type.
Uh-huh.
Because what I found is when you can really hone in on these things, you can make really rapid progress towards your goals, whether that's figuring out your life purpose, or getting and staying healthy, or just being able to have an effective meditation routine. Because so many people come up and say, hey, I've tried meditating, this doesn't work for me. And mm-hmm. I just turn around and say, you haven't done the right sort of technique or practice, because otherwise you'd be successful at it. Anyone can meditate.
Mm-hmm.
So I help people in those ways. I also do corporate wellness training. I incorporate a lot of the aspects of wellness and leadership together and why it's really important for leadership to emphasize wellness within a company
uh-huh.
because it increases productivity and energy and decreases stress and really just helps people to be at their optimum peak performance. And it's so important. I mean, people get sick all the time now. People are missing work a lot and mm-hmm. aren't being as productive as they should. Right. We have just too many stresses in our society. So I find that to be an important aspect of work. Let's see. I also consult with architects and builders on wellness design. I use Ooh. Aspects of Vastu and Feng Shui. Uh-huh. So whether you're building a new home or like a large, say, condominium complex, that's a project I have coming up, or you're just looking to do a renovation on your space and you want to make sure that it's inclined towards those mind-body-spirit balance principles, uh-huh. I'll go and consult with the architects on that.
Fascinating. So since you work with a lot of people, do you have a success story that you'd like to share with us?
Sure. Let's see. I think my biggest success story was a woman that I worked with and literally just did one session with her. And after one session, she had enough insight, was able to make some tremendous changes in her life and what she was doing. She was suffering from some health problems and really terrible acne and anxiety and depression, and she was able to just turn that all around instantly. I mean, I was even amazed at that, because that was literally just talking with her for 1 hour.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, in your book, you talk about inner prosperity. What is that?
So if you've studied Hinduism, or if you are Hindu, you'll probably know about the goddess Lakshmi. She is like this goddess that represents prosperity and abundance in life. But she relates to outer prosperity and what I've called in my book, inner prosperity. So there's this difference. A lot of times when we think about being prosperous, we think about having material success and abundance and respect and fame in our career and just being like being well-known and successful in the material space. Mm-hmm. So think about, what does this look like when you bring it to an inward level? Like, how well are you manifesting your life purpose? How confident do you feel in yourself? How in control of yourself do you feel? Can you control what's going on in your mind? Are you overrun with anxiety and depression? Like, literally, how much in command of your own space and person are you, and how overflowingly happy are you in life? Mm-hmm. That's what I call inner prosperity.
So what does happiness look like?
I think that's a very unique thing for every individual person. But it's really when you're living in alignment with what your purpose is, uh-huh. when you recognize that you are part of the fabric of the whole creation and of God and everything that's here. Like, we're so interconnected to everything that we have an important place, even though we're just one person. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of happiness comes from that. Recognizing that we are that inner light and prosperity and abundance and everything good, that the negative stuff is just stuff that's been layered on top through experiences or fear or other things in life, but that's not truly us. So mm-hmm. being able to touch back to that core place of being, that it ultimately knows that this entire universe was made to make you happy and to see you successful and overwhelmingly blissful.
Interesting. You know, I find it fascinating too that your name is Jaya Myra. Can you share with our listeners what Jaya means?
So Jaya is a Sanskrit word that means victory, mm-hmm. and Jaya Myra was part of a spiritual name I was given. I mean, Myra is my birth name,
yes.
So it's very rare and fortunate, I believe, for me that was incorporated into my spiritual name.
Mm-hmm. So clearly you were a victor over your illness, and so it's great that you're sharing this with others. In a minute or less, do you have a final message for our listeners?
Cultivate one practice that you do every single day that helps you feel happy and confident in who you are. That is going to be more important than any mindfulness and meditation practice that you have, because this is the practice that's going to help you to build that inner prosperity. And if you don't have inner prosperity, it doesn't matter if you're a good meditator or not.
Interesting. Again, Jaya Myra's website is jayajayamyra.com. That's JayaJayamyra.com. And I'm really grateful that you've joined us here today. And you say you're writing your second book, is that right?
I am currently working on my second book quite diligently. I'm hoping to get that wrapped up well before the end of this year.
Okay. And again, jayajayamira.com. And I wanted to let you guys know that if you want to share this or listen to some of the other archive shows, go to christineupchurch.com. On that, you will also find my blogs. There's one that I wrote recently about how we need to look at through life, look at life through a lens. Also, if you want to listen to my TEDx talk, it is on the homepage of the website. Again, christineupchurch.com. I thank you for joining us here today, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.